Welcome to the BMT Sustainability Podcast with me, Del Redvers, Sustainability Director at BMT.
And me, Laura Blake. As Head of Sustainability, I've supported BMT's sustainability agenda for 7 years and have dedicated my career to driving sustainable development and responsible business practices.
We have a shared interest in the complexity of shaping a better world. And together, this is our first experience of delivering a podcast.
We're super excited to give this a go and hugely appreciate you being with us on this journey, exploring the diverse and dynamic world of sustainability as we work to deliver purpose-led change.
Our world is full of complex and interconnected challenges, where it isn't always possible to reduce ideas to a single soundbite or statistic, and often where there isn't an objectively right or wrong answer. We want to talk to people across our business to get their ideas on sustainability-related topics, and in doing so, to improve our thinking as a business.
This podcast is our attempt to do just that. In each episode, we will explore different ways of looking at a wide range of challenging topics, prompting us to think critically and stay open to change.
So, thank you for listening, and let's get started.
At BMT, we're aspiring to be a purpose-led business, and that means making decisions not just for profit, but based on what we believe about the world. But what should those beliefs be, and how do we decide on them? Should they reflect the views of our employees? And if so, what happens when those views conflict? So ultimately, how can we ensure that as our business continues to grow, our sense of purpose grows with it? So to explore this further, I'm Laura Blake, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Del Redvers, along with representatives from BMT's Employee Engagement Group. And together, we're going to discuss how much of BMT's worldview should be shaped by the perspectives of our employees. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us in today's conversation. And good morning, Del.
Hello, Laura. It's lovely to be here. And actually, we're sat outside in a garden, which is a change from our usual kind of recording location in a BMT office. So you might hear a few background noises of a plane going overhead or a bird singing. But you can imagine the sunshine and the grass and a beautiful blue sky above us, and no better place to have a conversation and no better people to have the conversation with. So before we go any further, I'd just like to give our guests a chance to say hello and introduce themselves. So from the EEG, we have, first of all, Mick.
Good morning, Mick Dewhurst. So I'm Head of Capability at BMT UK for Mission and Complex Systems, and I'm the Chair of BMT's Employment Engagement Group.
Thanks, Mick. Mike?
Mike McDorn. I am the systems integration team lead in our US, and I am here as the EEG regional rep for Canadian and US parts of the business.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mark.
Morning, Mark Hayworth. I'm a cybersecurity consultant and the UK Europe EEG regional coordinator.
Excellent. And Adam?
Hi, everyone. Adam Jones. I'm from the Sydney office. A couple of hats. So my technical area is water efficiency. I'm an engineer, and I'm a team leader of a small team of mostly environmental scientists that do a lot of marine work in particular. And also currently the head of the EEG in the APAC region.
Brilliant. And thank you all for being here. It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, before we get into the main subject today, and we're going to be talking about the relationship the business has with its employees. But before we get into that, let's just establish why the EEG matters. And I'd like to hear a couple of your views, please, on that. So maybe, Mick, if you could start off, why does the EEG matter in BMT?
I think understanding and reflecting employees' views can be really beneficial to a business, and that's in a number of ways. Employment engagement, if employees feel heard and their voices are valued, then the engagement and motivation levels tend to increase across employees. This can lead to higher productivity and more job satisfaction, but ultimately this is one of the key things that can make a company like BMT very different to our competitors. I think the other things is culturally, a workplace that will reflect its employees and their values can create positive and inclusive culture, and that will also help to attract and retain more talent.
Brilliant. I think that's a great summary. And why, or what does the EEG actually do in practice? Mike, what does it actually do? What do you do on a kind of day-to-day basis in your region? How do you make what Mick just said there
you make it real for people in DMT?
Well, I think we act as a representative for, well, as a communication conduit, basically between senior management and the employees. And just being there, first of all, is one of the things. What's interesting is, you know, we want to grow this business over the next several years through, you know, collaboration and innovation and things like that require communication between engineering management and the employees. I think that's really important. So having a representative, having a system in place where, you know, the average employee can voice their concerns or, you know, basically indirectly talk to senior management, I think is a really powerful message to any employee that works here or anybody, prospective new employees that we might want to hire or attract.
And so there's a really strong cultural element to what you're saying. Absolutely. There, Mike. And for you, Adam, in APAC, how important is the EEG to our culture in the APAC region?
To me, it's very important. It speaks to the ethos of the organization. People really reaching out to calibrate a sense they have of what the business is doing. People seem to really care about who we are and where we're going. And so the EEG seems to be able to pick up some of those questions that aren't fully formed or fall outside that kind of week-to-week, month-to-month conversation that you might have with your line manager or your team. And so that's an exciting role to be in, and something we take very seriously.
So the ability to really strengthen that connection between the company and its employees, and I think that's really exciting. Let's get into that a bit more as you go into the discussion. And then just finally to round off this bit about the EEG, Mark, how effective do you think the EEG actually is?
If you've asked me that about a year ago, Dale, it might have been a different response because we've gone through a restructuring. But I think we're very effective. We've gone through a very successful restructural period. I think it's important we've got a functional layer that sits between the senior leadership and the employee base. And you've got trust at both ends, effective communication. You're almost like a trusted advisor for the employee areas that you represent. And I think one of our key superpowers is that anonymity. And Adam mentioned it about having that trust where they might not want to go and approach line managers or capability leads. They'll come to the EEG with a comment, an observation, a concern. We'll represent that for our monthly engagement to the regional leadership or out of committee for the comms networks we've established across the business. So, yeah, I think we're very effective, more effective now than we were. I'm not saying we weren't effective previously, but I think with the new design, more reps, we're covering more employee bases. It's, I think very effective. And I think we'll just get stronger in the future. But it's important being that impartial functional layer that sits right between having trust at both ends and closing that communications loop off from the bottom right to the very top and back again.
Yeah, fantastic. And Mick, finally, just a thought that came from that. What for you personally, why do you like doing what you do? Why do you carve time out to do the role you do in the EEG?
I've been with BMT for over 12 years, so I've seen quite a transition. And all I can say is, every transition is a difficult journey because we're naturally resistant to change. But what I found is that the EEG has helped to add some sanity to that change and stability, and has always been there. And it's not just helping employees get their voices heard, but it's helping leadership connect with the employees through different ways than the formal policy and process. And to me, that's really satisfying because it keeps BMT to the values that it was created for. It's adding value, and it's what makes us really special.
That's the perfect place to go into the next conversation, next part of the conversation. And the thing we really want to explore with you today, I guess, builds on what you were just saying, Mick, about the values of the organisation. What are your thoughts, Adam?
Fantastic question. I said this before we started recording, Dale, but I think this is an incredibly wonderful topic to explore. It's I feel humbled to be having a view on this as a EEG rep, so I hope that that comes through as we speak, that this is something that I suppose, everybody would have a view on. I think that absolutely we need to be have integrity in terms of who we are as a business, and that comes from the bottom up and also the top down. I think that we want our employees to know that their values and their views are heard in how we operate and the work we do. We also want to have trust that our leaders have a clear vision on where we're going and what matters as a business. So we can get into this a little bit more. I was been thinking about how do you reconcile those two worlds? There's almost a fundamental layer to how we think about this, that it's not an issue of do we do this or do we do that. But the reality is that these things are nuanced, that and it, there requires a certain amount of judgment and integrity, not just at the top levels, but at the point where you're in the meeting and you're making a decision with the client and you're making a judgment call as to what's right and wrong and what's good and bad. And so that's where I see it. I see that there's, it's not a top down, we should work with this industry, we shouldn't work with that industry. It's a way of thinking about what we do and a way of committing to how we operate that for me is very BMT, and that it would allow us to work in different ways and at different times and for different people in the right way.
That's really interesting. And there's something you've just said in there, which actually immediately brings another dimension to the conversation, which I wasn't particularly thinking about, but I think is fascinating, which is actually, you know, the way we manifest what we believe about the world is through the way we act and the way we behave. And it is our people who express that behavior and are the interface into the world and into our, to our customers. And so actually kind of whatever BMT's values and worldview may be, the manifestation of that is it what our people do when they're sitting across a table having a conversation with somebody. So the extent of that alignment is kind of has a different dimension to it. As you say, it's kind of it's multifaceted in that way. What do you think, Mark? Do you feel that the BMT should be shaping its worldview from its employees to some degree?
So I'll just think about this, Dylan, and it's I think it's it will be difficult to act on everybody's world, your opinion, because even though we're not a huge company, but we're big enough, well, sorry, small enough to make it a community and a sort of family feel, which I think is one of BMT's strengths. But what I do think is important is that we listen. So you can't change everything for one person or maybe a small group of people who put a representation forward. But and that's the beauty of the EEG. You know, we're there to listen, take these things forward, and then represent those views to the senior leadership. It might be somebody's worldview or opinion that they don't want to attach a name or a tally to, but we can represent that. And if it does influence change and it moves those change levers, that's all for the good of the company. But the important thing is that there is a group of people and a mechanism to listen and influence change where we can.
That's really interesting. So Adam's telling us that it's not just a kind of top-down dissemination. It's more complicated than that, and it's multifaceted. You're saying the EEG is a brilliant mechanism that enables some of that. Mick, what do you think BMT should do when it hears the view through the employees?
I think the EEG should, where possible, be change advocates and support the business in its journey. But also the employee voice is so important that it can make that change so much better. So being slightly critical of change or challenging change and perceptions is really important because our strategy is based around years to come, but nobody knows what's going to happen next week. And if we're really honest, being in tune with your employees, being socially responsible and valuing the voice of your employees, that enhances your reputation in your client area, because your employees are also going to be out there representing BMT. And if their voices are heard and they're valued, it's going to make for a much better face into their client area and help BMT thrive.
And Mike, do you feel the same way? Do you think that BMT should be seeking to benefit from the employee view of the world in some way?
Absolutely. I think as a employee-owned company, I mean, I think, first of all, we do, the organization represents the views of the employees, or at least should. The other thing is we need to understand our customers. You know, I think the employees are the ones that are communicating or in contact with their customers on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So look, we've got a variety of different perspectives. And I love the way you've all come at it from a slightly different angle, but taking us into this sense that actually BMT, for reasons of who we are as an organization and how we should be successful or could be successful in the future, there is good reason why we should be listening to the employee voice. What do you think, Laura?
I think this moves us onto a more sort of interesting question and thought here. Okay, so the voice is really important and we need to listen to our employees. But I think there must come a time where ultimately a hard decision does need to be made as an organisation. And my question to you is, as a network, we listen to our employees' viewpoints, we give them a space to share their perspectives. But when it really comes down to it, how much agency do you think individual employees have in our organisations, not just to have a view, but to take that one step further and maybe act on their view, or to be able to go to who they need to within the organisation?
I think employees recognise that it's the business listens to them, and that's really important in itself, not necessarily expecting them to act on it. And the views are important, but businesses must almost, I suppose, maintain that professional boundary where they ensure that the productivity of the work is maintained and the environment that we're working is maintained. So there is a fine balance, but I think having an EEG bringing the points to the table, at least it's been placed in front. It might not always be possible to act on it, but at least considering change in some respects is the value enough, actually.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention when you opened up with that, Laura, what we've just done recently is presented a use that we did with the EEG, and there's about 10 or 12 items, and there could have been a few more on there, and it was demonstrating, it was briefed at board level, but also briefed out to the region. This is a list of things that you brought to the EEG. These are what we've done, and some of it's influenced positive change, and we'll continue to do that, hopefully on a quarterly basis, where we're going to keep getting that feedback in. We can't all answer every single question. Some responses will take quite a while to get turned around, but it's as long as we keep that engagement open and we've got that trust and honesty with the areas that we represent, and then go back with some positive evidence of you said we listened and the senior leadership acted. And that's a key strength, I think.
I think that we're going to increasingly see a risk associated with the decisions that we make in these ways, that there's, and so I think what you say about agency is a really important question, that there's, you know, there could be somebody making a decision in a meeting with a client that does affect the optics for BMT around the world. And so we have to be aware of that. And I think our staff are quite capable of really recognizing that, and that they carrying a lot of responsibility in these kinds of decisions. I think the older I get, I think I've realized more and more that the main thing often internally and externally seems to be trust. And so I think that's a important thing for us to navigate, how we trust our staff as they're going in to help the clients, but also how the staff trust the organization to hear the nuance on these issues as they get considered.
Yeah, absolutely. And employees have the EEG to be able to make their voices heard, but equally leadership can be very isolating. Yeah. And it's very difficult at the top of a business such as EEG, where we have a global reach, to make the right decision for everybody. But being able to communicate the potential impacts, the challenge, some of the decision making, or even actually help pass that message on. But it is about, you know, being the voice of everybody, and the EEG has that autonomy and has maintained it. But we do recognise that it is purely a communications route alternative to the formal ones, and we're not expecting the world to suddenly stop and listen and change everything because of us.
So the EEG being the voice of everyone makes complete sense, but of course not everyone speaks with the same voice. So there are a whole heap of views that people have around the business on absolutely every topic, you know, from the way the business should be run, or what fairness looks like in terms of distribution of profit, or where we should put our investment, or which market segments we should be in and which we shouldn't, or how much we should be investing in. But there'll be almost as many different views as there are people. And to Laura's question, which is about agency, how do we take people's views and listen to them as a business and act on those views as a business? And I'm talking really about that kind of the bigger view. I don't mean the detail of, you know, what goes on in a specific office or day-to-day employee experience. I mean the bigger view of what a company is like. How do we hear those views from people and make them feel connected to the sense that they've been heard?
I think I'll go back to something that Mick introduced, and the idea was born last year, but we had our first fireside chat this year with Future Business, and there'll be more of those. And it was almost like we'll have a first go, see how it goes down, but we'll reach out to our local regions, ask them to provide us with questions, and we'll present those questions to the senior leadership and regional leadership team. Sessions are recorded, and it demonstrates to the UK and Europe region that the EEG's work on their behalf, we've got greater visibility, but also we're taking their questions and asking the bigger questions, not the lighting and things about the office infrastructure, but things that are really important to the business. and providing that platform for them to engage via the EEG with the senior leadership. And I think that's a really key thing. And it's a new thing, and I think there'll be more of it, but it does demonstrate a functioning EEG representing those bigger worldviews at a senior level.
Mm. I think it's important for us to be in tune with, you know, what our, you know, what the employees are thinking. I think it is, you know, one of the, I think it's, first of all, one of the selling points for working at BMT is that there's a level of trust and autonomy that people are given here. And, you know, I think that, you know, having an EEG system in place, you know, it tells people that, you know, we're serious about this, that, you know, senior management is interested in hearing your views. And ultimately, I think, you know, everybody in the company wants to stay in business. You know, we want to see BMT succeed.
So in terms of those worldviews, Mike, that bigger picture, how should BMT deal with the fact that people have very different views? Do we just listen to all the views that people have and say, that's great, and now we're going to try and distill something out of that? Should we listen to the ones who are the most expert? Should we listen to the ones who are the loudest? Should we listen to the ones who are in the biggest group?
I think it's going to depend on the business environment, you know, for what we're trying to do in that area. It's going to obviously, you know, a lot of factors there. I think senior management needs to understand, you know, that if they're establishing certain policies or, you know, maybe thinking of doing certain changes, that they understand that it's not going to affect everybody equally. And it might not land the same in different regions. You know, and part of the role of the EEG too, I think, is disseminating the message and trying to sort of translate, if you will, what the message is.
Yeah, I think what we've found is, and we mentioned about the restructuring of the EEG to, I suppose, complement and align to the OD rollout. And what we found is now that the regions are better operating in their own sort of areas with their own EEGs, dealing with the problems, the lighting, the heating, that sort of thing, but also the cultural issues within those regions. They're better equipped to deal with those rather than us taking everything to the top. But what we do find now is we can actually pick key points that are common themes across the different regions, and that's the important views that need to be escalated up to the top. It might be for awareness, or it might be for something that actually we've seen the trend before the trend actually manifests itself. And I think that's the real superpower that EEG brings. And what we're not doing is piling everything into one area. We're now, I suppose, triaging it and making sure it's the best area of the business. And also, what's really important, Dale, is that we're not undermining the formal structures that are there, line management, capability management, whatever it is, because those functions must be allowed to, you know, operate and exercise. We just need to be there to help keep the momentum.
And I really see the power of that when you find commonality across the regions, across the business, to have a mechanism like the EEG that can bring those different points together and say, actually, here is a consistent issue or view or idea or opportunity, and let's go about it. But what about when it isn't consistent? And I think this plays as well into the DEI discussions that we've had in this podcast in the past, that different sections of our BMT community might have quite different views about things. What do we do to reflect the employees, you and to Laura's question, to ensure people have a sense of being heard and having agency when their views perhaps aren't the majority view or aren't reflected across all the other regions? What do you think, Adam?
I think this is another really important question. And my view on this is the answer will be in really good, intelligent conversations, in authentic conversations. I think we live in complicated times, and they're going to potentially get a little more complicated in the next few years. And the nature of people's views and values potentially getting more extreme and closer to their heart in some sense. And I don't think we're seeing a lot of good conversations modeled to us in many ways or around us. Maybe I'm going to be proven to be naive in the next few years, but I really believe in good conversations. I believe that, and we were saying this earlier, in some ways, the way I see BMT
the BMT person is quite a smart, engaged, thoughtful, perceptive, motivated person. And I think people like that deep down know that things aren't as simple as they're sometimes presented. And people recognize the value of these different viewpoints and really tussling out what's important or most important. So that's where I see the BMT angle, is having really good conversations about this stuff.
And it's somehow in our culture, recognizing that being a science and engineering organization that puts fact, that puts evidence, that puts understanding at the heart of the decisions that we make, and recognizing, I think your point, Adam, about complexity is really important, recognizing that very few things seem to have a black and white yes or no, right or wrong answer. And it's all somewhere on a spectrum of shades of grey. And it's only through good discourse that we get to find that answer, I think, is a really powerful point, and where the EEG could be really effective.
Yeah, and I think BMT's values and the way we've shared them across the business, accepting that everybody is different, they can be seen as guiding principles. And actually, you use them as signposts, as ways of getting forward. And don't just think about the cultural differences. Think about the diversity of the work we do: defense, environment, ports, you know, oil and gas. We're everything we do, we're doing it in the way that BMT wanted it to be done, which is not necessarily the same as our competitors or administrations around the world. So those guiding principles will see us through that journey, no matter what's going around us. And having the ability for employees to share their view of ways to improve that or to make it slightly less restrictive means that as a business, we're sort of unique and able to do that.
This theme keeps occurring around viewpoints and conversations, and not something in terms of tangible action, but it's just really listening and listening to people's views and having these principles. This discussion here is making me think that actually maybe the viewpoints and having the conversation and giving people a voice sometimes is enough. We don't always have to act, but people want to be listened to. The one thing that's particularly on my mind is we touched on frameworks there, and Mick just touched on having principles as an organisation, a set of guiding principles that you can follow. And I think this is all good and well, but there's times within the organisation where we have to act quite quickly. A good example is if there's a humanitarian disaster and we have to try and decide what charity to donate to quite quickly. And we don't always have the answers, and we can't reflect the voice of all of our employees, like we've already discussed. Are principles enough? Can we use principles to guide those conversations? Or, you know, do we have to have a more frameworks and more policies in place, which we don't really want, but for those more challenging conversations?
I think the example you've picked up, Laura, is actually a really pertinent one, because it's many of our employees get in touch and say, there's a thing going on in the world, there's an appeal, people are suffering. Could BMT please make a donation? Particularly if their families or their friends or they know people involved in that, could BMT do something to help? And where we can, perhaps we should. I know other people think, well, that's our money you're giving away. You're choosing to take the money out of our pockets and give it to a good cause. Very noble. But is it your choice to take money out of the employees' pockets and give it to this cause? And that's a complicated discussion which has customer views and market views. How are we perceived in the world? What do future employees think of us, and so on? But it adds an extra dimension when those humanitarian issues come out of conflict, and you might get different people in the organisation supporting or feeling more sympathetic to different sides in that conflict. And then where do you put your? How do you target your efforts to stay perhaps neutral or where it isn't possible? What do you do? How do you navigate that? So to Laura's point, what principles should we have, or how do we create a set of principles that help us navigate these sorts of problems?
If BMT just made a unilateral decision to, okay, we're going to support that charity, and there might be a left and right side of, you know, conflict, it's a really difficult thing. So how would you
put that to the company through the charities group or through the EEG? Would you let the employees have a say in
whether that was a good idea or not, and whether it would damage the BMT brand if we did that, or if we didn't? It's a very interesting question, and it's a difficult one to answer. That it almost becomes would it be a committee decision, because you can't just make it by senior leadership. It's got to be something that everyone buys into, but you're going to get one or two world views that won't accept that. So that's quite a challenge. I think, I mean, the EEG is now geared up to be able to respond much better to reactive requests.
I agree with that. I suppose to underline it as well, I think there's a real authenticity question around, we don't want to be cynical in terms of how we value signal in general to our market. I think that's dangerous ground. But I think to your point, Laura, about quick decisions, we're going to have moments like that where we need to have quick decisions, and there isn't time for that full, I suppose, negotiation between all the views. And I think that's where trust comes into it. I think we want to get to a point where we want to be at a point where we trust our leaders to make these quick judgment calls, and that if there are views that don't agree with it, we can debrief that again with intelligent conversations, and we can keep calibrating that. But I think having that trust, we need that trust in our leaders to be able to make the quick call, and that they're doing it with the right motives for the right reasons, with kind of an understanding and a kind of perception of who we are as a business at heart.
I mean, one of the things I see on a regular basis is just the wide variety of people we have working at this organization, from a huge variety of backgrounds and different areas and different cultures. And it's a challenge. But the reality is that we all somehow make it work. You know, we find a common set of goals and values to get our work done. In fact, you know, even though we have a wide variety of opinions, generally they don't end up in discussions doing our business, you know, and I think that's a win. That's a success.
So what you're saying, Mike, in part at least, is that we have a real strength in the breadth, in our ability to encompass a breadth of views within our culture, and it really links to I think what Adam was saying earlier on about having a kind of thoughtful approach to discourse in our business, to understanding a problem. One thing we haven't talked about yet, just to bring into it, is about I think the way that we make decisions and form our view as a business on different timelines. And when we hear what our employees think, you know, we're getting a snapshot of the day. In some form or other, whether it's the EEG feeding back in a meeting or whether it's through the employee engagement surveys, and we can form our view as a business, our worldview, based on, to some extent, on what our employees think. But then there's another stakeholder group which doesn't have a voice, which is the employees of tomorrow. So the people we're trying to attract who are out there in the market, in the talent market at the moment, that we maybe need right now, or the people we're going to need in 3, 5, 10, 20 years time to keep the business strong and successful, and how we balance the kind of business we need to be for us today and the kind of business we might need to be for the worldview of tomorrow, if you like.
For context, I suppose I could tell you a bit about myself. So my own personal drive, I think, and one of the reasons that I really enjoy being at BMT is that I'm really motivated to contribute. And so for me, and sustainability is quite close to my heart. That was, I chose to get into environmental engineering because I wanted to contribute to a better, genuinely better future for society and for the planet. But one of the things I quickly learned when I got into the industry is that all the action happens in the gray. There's very few kind of white flags and black flags out there. It's all happening in this mixed context. And so contributing is very possible. You can find ways to do a genuine good, but it's not as simple as you like to think of when you're a child. And so I think that's the timeline question is really important, I think, in that context, to say it's going to be grey. It's going to get even murkier, the grey, as we're going forward. And so it's a wisdom question, I think. This I mentioned it before, I guess it's a wisdom at the top and it's a wisdom at the bottom. And so I think that's something that we want to be developing as our culture, or wisdom about what it means and the decisions that we're making. Sometimes it's something that would go to Sarah. Sometimes it's something that a junior engineer has to say yes or no about in front of a client when they put the pressure on to compromise a value or something like that. So I think how do we set ourselves up for the future and putting us on a good path? I feel like there are deeper principles that we can lean into. So even if navigating the wisdom in the gray is going to keep changing month by month, I see a BMT as an organization that can really hang on to principles. One of them, I mean, this is something maybe we could get further into over time, but as a science and engineering technology business, you mentioned it before, the side of objective truth is something that's close to my heart as an engineer, and I think close to BMT's heart. And that's something that I feel like is a strength of BMT, that we're not blown around by the winds of optics or sort of, you know, signals or politics in the same way that we, because we like to get under the hood and look at what's really going on and look at the data and capture that dynamic. And so I feel like that's a place where, you know, those are the kinds of principles that if you say, hang on, we're gonna look at the truth of the matter and navigate the nuances in that way as a business. That's, for example, the sort of principle where I believe that lives on. And I believe that future employees will see the value in that, even as we're navigating the waves of grey over time.
You mentioned Guardians, Del, and something that came in from the feedback when we were reaching out to our employee base about how do we celebrate BMT's 40th birthday. And one of the things that came in, and I thought was really key, was how do we make the graduates and apprentices for today into the Dells and, you know, into Georgina Powers of tomorrow? How do we grow these? And that's probably part of that timeline question as well. Make sure we harness all of the good senior leadership and the good experienced engineers we've got today who are maybe coming towards the last 10, 15 years of their career, that making sure we use that pool to develop the graduates, so they're going to be the ones best placed to take the company forward. I mean, that's a key part of the timeline we should be looking at. How do we make the graduates of today into the senior leaders of tomorrow?
I'd hope the graduates of today have got much more ambition than to be the me of tomorrow. But that aside, we take 2 points. Thank you, Mark.
I think ultimately for me, we've spoken about this sort of grey area in terms of trying to address the longer term within the organisation. And for me, Del, I actually think it's one of the reasons why we have a sustainability strategy. I think sustainability strategy helps bridge that gap between employee viewpoints and perspectives and the world challenges we see and the need to address them in the long term and the short term. So we have more strict policies and perspectives within our sustainability strategy around net zero in the longer term, which is much longer term horizons. And again, we're looking at what used to be corporate social responsibility, but looking at being more reactive to the challenges we see in the world, particularly when it comes to humanitarian aid. I don't know if you agree. I think it's fundamentally why our sustainability strategy supports us in capturing worldviews, and to Mark's point as well, capturing the world challenges that matter to employees coming to the organisation and the future generation.
Yeah, I think the sustainability strategy is a really key part of it. And one of the things to get back to what Adam's saying about objective truth, and we could have a great philosophical discussion about the existence or otherwise of objectivity and truth. One of the important connections in sustainability to me is that we start from the idea of a materiality discussion, which is we start off by saying, well, what actually matters? What actually, where do we have impacts? Where do we have agency in the world? What topics are material to us as a business? And that's where climate is such an important part of our sustainability agenda, not because it's a faddish topic. As Adam's saying, we're not just following what's popular out there in the world, but when we stop and take a considered evidence-based view of materiality, we see that climate is one of the most important impactful things that touches all parts of our business. And therefore, we put it at the center of our sustainability strategy. So I think you're right, Laura. I think that makes a really solid connection back into the theme of the discussion.
So in summary, I think we've had a really good conversation about the EEG being a really valuable network that can help shape our business views. And I think we've also touched about the importance of having intelligent conversations, thinking about trust, guiding principles, cultural wisdom, and employees needing these tools as well to speak with our stakeholders and to ultimately represent us as a business. Because I think it's those external conversations that aren't going to necessarily be textbook. People won't always share our perspectives, and linking that back to why our sustainability strategy is so important, giving us a common framework to anchor those conversations and connecting individual voices with the bigger long-term challenges that we need to address together. And I think, of course, this all links back to our culture, because it's our culture, it's our values that underpin how we have those conversations and how we represent the business, both now and into the future.
Where we are as an organisation, I think, is that, you know, we have got a very
We've got a very strong culture, and this is our 40th year. You know, I think is a really good time to reflect on the heritage of our culture and our beliefs and our worldview. And as Mike said earlier on, you know, we've had a sort of there've been some anchoring things about BMT actually over a long time. We've changed in very many ways. Beyond recognition in some, you know, in some senses, when you look at the organizational chart or where the offices are today, or maybe even some of the services we're offering into the market, the capabilities that we have. But there are some things that actually you can draw a really strong line of connection of cultural heritage back through, and the ability to for our employees to have a real voice and to be heard and to have that agency, and the ability for the organization to be thoughtful and intelligent. And I really like your use of the word wisdom, which wasn't a word that I've put into the mix, but I'm gonna think about how that fits in now. You've prompted a thought, Adam. How those things come together for us as an organisation, and actually we make the most of it. And I believe that these things do come together and make BMT stronger and better than it could or would otherwise be. So the voice of our employees does enormously matter, and the EEG is the most phenomenal enabler of that voice in practice. So I think we've kind of come to the end of the discussion for today, and maybe we'll close out there. We could also cut in later on and just put in, is there anything else you want to say? I don't really want to end up with, is there anything else you want to say? But are there any other points you wanted to raise that we haven't?
I was just going to echo that, Dale, really, because there's a lot of networks within BMT, whether it's a social, whether it's the D&I, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And the EEG sits at the very heart of all of that. When we briefed the Board of Trustees only a few weeks ago, one thing that came to my mind was, would BMT be a better or worse place without the EEG? What would it be like without an EEG? And I think it'd be far worse because of that, everything we've all just said about the listening, about the doing, about the taking forward, about the representing, the anonymity. They've got so many strengths across the EEG that BMT would be a far worse place if it didn't exist. And I think that is the power of that listening, that conversation, that communication. Yeah, that's all I wanted to add.
I wanted to say, for one, that I'm excited about this format. So I think it's a really engaging idea to be able to have these kinds of conversations in a podcast format. So thanks. You're looking forward to more of these? Can't wait.
Is there anything else you wanted to say, Mike, that you didn't get a chance to air in the conversation?
No, I think, you know, what I've heard here is, you know, that we're very diverse. You know, we are a company that operates in some extremely different areas, and you know, one of the things I've learned over the years is, you know, when I talk to other people at BMT, is that everybody at BMT has a different vision of what BMT is. You know, what does it mean to work here, and who are we, and who do we identify as? It's an interesting conversation. Everybody has, you know, a different perspective. So I think it's challenging. I think communications is absolutely key as we're trying to establish what are the core values of BMT. Who do we represent? What's our ethos of, BMT? And, you know, having conversations like this, I think, are, you know, a path forward to making that happen and continuing these kind of conversations. You know, it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing challenge for us as a business to basically navigate, you know, some complicated areas and, you know, in business and parts of the area we work. So, I think this has been a very good format to have, conversations like this. And, you know, it's, I hope I continue to see more of it.
Mark, Adam, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today, and also for the important role you play on the EEG, and for joining us in this discussion. And also thank you, Mick, as well, for representing the Employee Engagement Group today. And Dale, for your wise thoughts, as always, and perspectives on this topic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Until next time, let's keep questioning and striving for more honest impact.